Turn with me, if you will, if you can find it in your Bible, to the prophecy of Haggai. Haggai. Best way to do it is to go to Matthew and go backwards a little bit. If you get page 836 in the first part of the Pew Bibles, 836 in the first section. If you get going real fast, you go right by it. There's only two chapters. Just leave it open, if you will, please. I'd like to read for a text the second chapter, the last chapter, verses 6 through 9. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth, and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come. And I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. We thank you, Father, for the word of the Lord God of Sabaoth, whose word is true, and amen to those who believe. And we pray that you will help us to make this word our word this evening. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Last Wednesday night was annual meeting, in case you happen to forget. And for some strange reason, I had a trouble sleeping Wednesday night. Went home and went to bed and went to sleep and woke up about maybe 2 o'clock. And about 2:30, I decided it was just a lost cause, and I got up and went downstairs and began to read. I wasn't in any panic. I just couldn't sleep after the annual meeting for a number of reasons. I will share one reason is we're running about $900 a Sunday under what we did during the winter. But there were other reasons too. I wasn't panicky, I just couldn't sleep. So I started reading in my place where I'm reading through consecutively. Happens to be in the book of Ezra, which is not bad reading as it goes along, but as I was reading in the book of Ezra, it mentioned there that the prophets Haggai and Zechariah came along and encouraged Zerubbabel, who was building the house of God or the city of God, and had laid the foundation and had a great rejoicing, and then had gotten stalled in the process and the work was stopped. And so I just put my finger in Ezra and I said, I wonder what Haggai and Zechariah said to encourage Zerubbabel. And so I flipped over and I began to read Haggai. And I got blessed. About 3 o'clock in the morning, I got blessed with that part where it said, the silver is mine, the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. I said, you're getting through to me here, I hear you. And it blessed me. And then I got over to Zechariah, and when I got over to chapter 4, of Zechariah, he was encouraging Zerubbabel, and he said, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. He said, Zerubbabel, you began the work, and Zerubbabel, you'll finish the work. And then he went on to say, for who has despised the day of small things? And I said, thank you, Lord. And I closed my Bible and I went back to sleep. I didn't go back to bed. I laid on the couch because I was going fishing Thursday morning. It's a good thing to do after annual meeting. And about 5 o'clock, my wife came down in all her morning glory. And said, what are you doing down here? And I said, I'm sleeping. And she said, well, how come you left the alarm on for 5 o'clock? And I said, so you could pray for me so I'd catch fish. No, I didn't really. I said, I'm sorry. And I went down, picked up John Stark, and away we went fishing. But that's how I found this text again. And it's been a blessing to me since Thursday morning especially. I've been rereading it. This encouragement to those who want to build God's kingdom. It's fresh. It's real. I settled in on this text verse, the heart of Haggai's message to Zerubbabel. I'll shake the heavens and the earth, God said. I used to view this verse, the shaking prophecy, as the fun part of the Messiah. And I judged the bass singer about how he could do the shakings. You know, I enjoy that. I always tried to sing it in the bathtub, never got asked to sing in the Messiah part. But it was kind of the fun time. But, you know, it wasn't fun time for Zerubbabel. It was a tremendous encouragement. It wasn't entertainment. For Haggai was saying to Zerubbabel, yes, it looks as though things are shaking, but I'm the shaker. God is the shaker. And I have the tools you need. I have the resources you need. And I'm going to give peace to my people. But you know, as I read it, it's not funny anymore to us as we hear the message of Haggai. As we read about God once more shaking the heavens and the earth, kind of a frightening thing to think of a wrathful, almighty God shaking heaven and earth, and yet in the midst of this shaking, a message of hope and a message of resources. It's not funny to talk about God shaking because I believe we could easily see the end of civilization as we know it in our generation. It's an easily recognizable fact that our generation has the capacity to blow itself out of existence. And that fact is driving men mad today. And yet this word of Haggai is not a message of despair for God's people of faith. Before I give you some principles of truth that spoke to me last Thursday morning early, and I've been thinking about them ever since, let me give you a beautiful outline for the book of Haggai that I could easily have stolen and just preached this message from H. Ray Dunning as I begin to look into a study of Haggai again. H. Ray Dunning breaks the book down into four calls in these two short chapters. I think it's worth sharing with you. If you have want to jot down some notes on your worship sheet there. Professor Dunning says that Haggai's call is a call to action. Chapter 1, verses 1 through 15, where he sees that God's people have stopped working, at least temporarily, and they're comfortable in the midst of a desperate need. And Haggai calls them to stop delaying and get back to work, a call to action. And then Professor Dunning says that it's a call to courage, beginning with the second chapter, verses 1 through 9, a call to be strong, the assurance that as we attempt to do God's work, as we take those first steps, God is with us. And this leads to the text part, verses 6 through 9. It's God that says, I will shake. But as we've already said, God has said, I have the silver and the gold. And God says, I will give peace to my people. Thirdly, Professor Dunning says it's a call to patience, beginning with verse 10 of chapter 2 through verse 19. We have to hold contact with God. Let His holiness work in and through us. And then finally, it's a call to faith. In those closing four verses, verses 20 through 23, Haggai speaks directly to Zerubbabel and repeats the prophecy, yes, I'm going to shake the heavens and the earth, but you're my signet ring. You have my authority, and I promise you victory in me. That's a beautiful outline, and I'd like to have preached it. But let me just, in closing here this evening, I don't have such an organized outline. But I'd like to share with you some principles of truth that we can see here in Haggai's message. It is a message that was a specific word of encouragement to a specific person, to whoever he was. That's an awful word, Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel must have been a great leader. Some people thought he was going to be Messiah. But this personal aspect of God sending a man of God, Haggai the prophet, to speak to a particular man who was held back, discouraged for a time in the work, speaks to me of the fact of the personal love of God. God knows you, and He will strengthen you. So hold steady and don't quit. It's a wonderful thing when you feel that, yes, God is busy watching over Argentina and Britain and the Middle East and all these things, but God knows your address, and He knows the particular need that you have at this particular time, and He's able to get a word through to you. Praise the Lord. It's fun to be Zerubbabel when you've got a Haggai around. And once in a while, if we'll listen, we might be Haggai to some other Zerubbabel too. Isn't it good if we can be the encouragement to some person, some child of God, and give them the word, you know, I love you, and God loves you, and God's going to give you victory. The work was encouraged. The people of God were encouraged by the men of God and the word of God, Haggai and Zechariah. But it's also a message of personal examination. Twice in this first chapter, early on, Haggai says to the people, it is time for you to consider your ways. Time for introspection. Perhaps it's possible for us to be too introspective, to feel our pulse spiritually too much, but I think we've swung over to the other side. And once in a while, we need to stop and take spiritual inventory. And Haggai says to the people, consider your ways, verse 5. Is it time for you to live in your sealed houses, that is, in your houses that are reasonably luxurious? And this house of mine lies in waste. And he goes on to say it's impossible to get ahead in any permanent sense unless we have a spiritual center and we place God absolutely first. He says you're making a lot, but you're putting it into bags that have holes in it. Verse 6, it sounds like somebody on April 16th, doesn't it? In the United States of America. I made more this year than I've ever made before, but where did it all go? And Haggai the prophet says, yeah, I hear what you're saying, but listen, take inventory. Are you truly putting God first? You never will get ahead unless God is at the center. Consider your ways, verse 7. God's people have energies and health in order that they may build God's house. And when they start out to do it, God will bless that effort. God blessed us as we physically joined our efforts to build this sanctuary. And let this building continue to be an object lesson to us, and only that. It is a tool. It's not an end in itself. But let it be the object that when we come together, God will enable us to do more than we can do. God wants us to continue to build His kingdom. A message of personal examination. But finally, and this is my last point, it's a message of hope. Scholars disagree about what this desire of nations might be. I've always taken it to be Jesus Christ, my authority being George Frederick Handel. I guess he's not the greatest Bible scholar. But whatever it is, we agree that it's God that shakes the nations. And what do nations desire more than peace? And God shaking the nations, it may be a frightening thing for us to stand on the soap bubble, as it were, afraid of what can happen, with the realization that we ourselves can blow our civilization out of existence. But at the same time, realizing that God has said, I'm the one that will shake the very foundation. And this God is not an impersonal force, but He's our Father, and God knows His children. And this great God gives us an ability to build our lives on a foundation that cannot be shaken. And in closing, it's interesting to me that this takes us back, as we begin to look at it, to the same chapter we were in this morning as we closed, when we talked about staying on the high road, not getting off on any detours from the way of holiness. And in the closing verses of that 12th chapter of Hebrews, once again the warning, "See that ye refuse not him that speaketh, for if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth," that is at Sinai, "but now he hath promised, saying," our text for this evening, "yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven." And this word, "yet once more," signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Do you hear what he's saying? God is going to shake everything that can be shaken. So verse 28 says, "Wherefore we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire." It's not so much that we need an unshakable faith. It's not so much that we need a great faith, but rather we have to be certain that our faith is in something or resting on someone who himself is unshakable. Not a great faith in God, but a faith in a great God. And trust in Jesus is not going to be misplaced. I believe that with all my heart. Has this ancient man of God spoken to you this evening? I thank God for Haggai that came along and talked to Zerubbabel. I'm glad it splashed over on me Thursday morning. I want to ask you this evening, as you go home and watch the news and you think about the fact that those British ships have nuclear warheads, and as you realize that there are troops massed in northern Israel on the border of Lebanon, as you think about how it's unsafe to walk the streets, and all these things that are so true that we don't like to even think about them, is your faith resting on something, on someone that's unshakable? God's people have the privilege of security in the midst of earth-shaking convulsions all over the earth. Apart from God, I'm as frightened as anyone else. Maybe a little bit more so. But I tell you, if we really believe what we believe, and if we really have faith in who it is that's speaking, we can have peace, God's peace, in this troubled world. We're resting on something that won't be shaken when God shakes the heavens and the earth. Let's pray. Father, we need this message of Haggai. We need to be up and building and working, keeping our priorities straight, putting you at the center. And then we need to be resting in the confidence that our faith will not be misplaced. Though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, that God will be in the midst of his church, and he will help her, and that right early. Grant us this faith, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like for us to close by singing number 421, 421, and sing the chorus, if you would, please. Thank you. Let's stand together, all right?
Peace, peace. coming down from the Father above. Sweet of the right spirit, forever I pray. In fathomless glory of love.
Sing verse 3.
I am resting tonight in this wonderful dream, resting sweetly in Jesus' control. For I'm kept from all danger by night and by day, and His glory is flooding.
Last verse says, "Ah, soul, are you here, without comfort or rest, marching down the rough pathway of time? Make Jesus your friend, ere the shadows grow dark. Oh, accept this sweet peace, so sublime." Not going to have a prolonged altar call this evening. This is all we're going to sing, this last verse. But if you don't have the peace of God ruling in your heart this evening, God is speaking to you through His prophet Haggai, through the Holy Spirit, saying, "I'm going to shake the heavens and the earth. You can count on it. I'm going to shake it to the foundations." Is your faith on something that's unshakable? While we sing this last stanza, I'd invite you to come and pray at the altar.
Ah, soul, are you here without comfort? Marching dark from the pathway of time, make Jesus your friend, ere the shadows grow dark. Oh, accept this sweet peace so sublime.
Will you quiet your hearts before the Lord just for a moment before we go? Lord, we want to hear your voice. We're just poised to go in all directions. And yet we believe that the Holy Spirit wants to speak to some hearts here tonight. Help us to get quiet before you. Show us what you want us to do. Will you open your heart to the Spirit tonight? Can you hear Him speaking? Father, we thank you for your presence all day, for the faithfulness of the Word, for the faithfulness of the Holy Spirit, and how we want to grow, how we want to mature as a church, how we want to be ready instruments of your Spirit so that we can fill the place in this moving of the Holy Spirit, even now in New England, that you want us to fill. As we leave this sanctuary tonight, let the challenge of your Word go with us. Don't let us get away from it, as going away from a mirror and forgetting what manner of people we are. But help us to go and to grow and to be your people, be the church. Oh God, challenge us, we pray, to growth this week. Dismiss us from this place, but not from your presence. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.